Assalamu alaikum, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. If you're new here, my name is Mihad. I'm the host of my show or podcast, wherever you're at. It's basically a podcast where we talk about self-improvement through Islam and just generally girl talk. So today is a long requested episode about preparing for Ramadan. So a lot of you guys asked me in DMs and on question stickers, how are you prepping for Ramadan? How are you prepping for Ramadan? And that was really a reality check, because how am I prepping for Ramadan? And I can't believe it is already, like, I think we're like 12 days away right now. That's insane. That's insane that the year just flew. And now that, like, Ramadan's getting earlier every year, I feel like I don't even realize how close it is. Like, imagine when it's in January, or, like, it's just not going to make sense to me. I feel like we're a generation who was raised in, like, the summer Ramadan, so we, like, associate Ramadan to the summer, so any earlier than that is just, it's not right. So, that being said, I do have a cute little podcast planned for you guys, but what's funny is that I'm supposed to be on the road to the airport because I got a flight to catch today. I have literally a suitcase in my face. I'm literally dressed for the airport, but I was like, I need to get this podcast out because I was supposed to post it on Monday, but all of last week I had guests over. So I had my friends and my sister visit me in Florida because I haven't seen them since literally last year. Not a whole year, obviously. Like, I mean, like, December. Crazy, because I haven't seen my sister since she got married. So that was, like, weird. But yes, it was so cute to host them here. I literally have only had, like, one friend from Texas visit me here. So, like, having all of them was so fun. And I always forget that I live in a freaking beach state. And I don't take it, like, I take it for granted, basically. So when they came, we went to the beach every single day that they came. We swam in the freezing cold water. But my sister is obsessed with the beach and obsessed with the sun. So she was not taking no for an answer. So we went to the beach 3 times. We went scootering and visited a beach town. It was so fun. Now that they're gone, I thought I was going to, like, settle back into my life. But then I forgot that I literally had a flight 2 days later to go to Texas for, like, a competition thing. So life is kind of moving crazy right now. And to think that when I come back from this trip, Ramadan's going to be in, like, freaking 4 days. Like, I need to prep now. You guys are right. Like, I need to prep now. And I like it because you guys asking me questions like that keeps me in check, you know? So I did write down things that I'm doing to prepare for Ramadan. And I also asked you guys how you're preparing for Ramadan, because I am not the know-it-all here. I definitely like this podcast to be more of, like, a collective community where we, like, learn from each other. So I am going to read your guys' responses after I tell you guys how I'm prepping for Ramadan. The way I'm about to miss my flight for y'all is crazy, but you know I would do it. So now that I finished my little life update, let's actually get into the topic for this podcast, which is prepping for Ramadan. So I feel like it's a universal thing where, like, we all wait for the beginning of Ramadan to actually start implementing our habits and, like, figuring out what we want to accomplish that month. But I feel like we literally waste, like, half the Ramadan trying to, like, actually do that. And then by then Ramadan's, like, over and we're like, how did that fly so fast? So what I propose is that we try and prep before Ramadan and even start the habits before Ramadan so that we kind of get rid of the trial and error phase before it even starts. You know what I mean? I feel like that can actually maximize our ability in Ramadan to actually get things done. So that being said, my main focus points for this Ramadan, I wrote down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them. So I'm going to go through my main focus points, things I'm doing to get in the spirit, and then what I'm anxious about / what I'm excited about for Ramadan. So to start off, one of the biggest things that I'm going to focus on this Ramadan is what can I give up? Because when do we actually sit down and think, this is a sin that won't be that hard for me to give up? You know what I mean? So, like, for example, if you're someone that, like, literally does not care for music, why is it like randomly in the background of your TikTok sometimes, or why is it like in the background of your car, literally on like 3% volume? Like, why are we doing these sins that are easy to give up? You know what I mean? So if you're that type of person, why not just completely cut it out instead of like racking up those sins for no freaking reason, right? So I feel like, let me think of another example. If you're someone that like does not care if their hijab is like fully wrapped or not, like they feel confident both ways, why not just go the full way and just always wrap it? Always pin it, always wrap it. You know what I mean? Instead of focusing on the things that were like are very hard for us, first let's focus on the things that are easy to give up, because at that point you're going to start feeling more confident in your ability to give up sin. And obviously when you get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gets closer to you. So it's a win-win in my opinion. You know what I mean? So I feel like I've been really good at giving up music like in my car rides, because I have this like, not even irrational, it's rational, okay? I have this rational fear that I'm going to die in a car accident and we are resurrected on the day of judgment the way you died. And I am not going to be resurrected in my car blasting music. No, thank you. No, thank you, right? So that's made it like easier for me to give that up. And so sometimes if I'm like randomly playing it, why am I doing that? Like I already put so much work into giving it up. Like why am I doing that? So that's something like I know I can give up. I know I can give up covering, like not covering my neck, even though I'm still struggling with it. But I know that it's definitely become easier to cover my neck, and I literally think that's an answer dua, because that was something so hard for me before, and I made dua that it would be easy, and now I feel like it's much easier for me. So might as well like put in 100% of my effort, you know, not just some, because if we live our whole lives like barely giving things up, what are we actually proving to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What, like, are we not proving that we deserve Jannah, or that we like want it so bad, you know? Anyways, number two, do more than normal in Ramadan, because that's the whole point in Ramadan. You're supposed to like live your ideal life, which is crazy because we could be doing that any other day, you know, but there is a different kind of a spirit and energy in Ramadan that just like is so much more motivating. And it's, I always think about the fact that if we all just kept that energy up, our whole life could be like Ramadan. We could be as happy as we are in Ramadan, as close together, as community based, as like, we could actually be living Ramadan every day, but we don't. But what I'm saying is that I want to let go of the whole like, oh, I'm wearing hijab, I'm chilling. I'm praying, I'm chilling. I go to the masjid sometimes, I'm chilling. I don't do these crazy haram things, so I'm chilling. No, you're actually not. If you're not putting in the effort every single day to be a better Muslim and to give up things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are you doing? You know, that's what I try to tell myself. Like, what am I doing to prove my spot in Jannah? So, for example, instead of just wearing the hijab, why don't I also be modest with my speech? No cussing, no backbiting, no gossiping, all that stuff. If I'm being modest with my hijab, then why not be modest with other things? You know what I mean? And then salat. Okay, pray all five. Do you pray them on time? Do you like run to salat? How is your concentration in salat? Because personally, mine sucks butt right now. It sucks so bad. And you know what I think it is? I think it's TikTok. Like TikTok, you're scrolling. And your brain is being filled with so many different audios and like sensory things that it's like, you are not going to focus on one thing at a time. So the second I get in salat, I'm like thinking about so many different things, and I've never experienced my khushur, which is like the focus in salat, being so bad. Like it's embarrassingly bad, embarrassing. But I also know that the state that you enter salat in is this like how your salat's gonna go. And I tend to be like rushed when I'm trying to pray, like rushed to the salat, like if I'm about to miss it or something. So of course, like my salat is like not going to be calm and peaceful and focused if I don't enter it calm, peaceful, and focused, right? So I've been trying to either like sit down for a second and catch my freaking breath before I start. But I definitely want to minimize how much I'm on TikTok, especially like right before Salat, because I cannot focus. I literally can't. So if you have tips for focusing on Salat, can you please DM me, because I need it and I need help. Thank you. Okay, this is one of the biggest ones. I want to do habit stacking so bad, and I'm not, I might not give you like the right definition, but I'm pretty sure habit stacking is when you add a new habit to a habit you already have, right? So if you wake up and go on your phone right away, like that's the habit that you have, then adding a good habit to that is gonna make you keep it because you're gonna be doing that first habit all the time. So let's say I personally love going to sit on my couch every single morning after I wake up, or making my coffee every morning, which is gonna be crazy to give up a normal dog, I'm not gonna lie, but we're gonna have to deal with that. But anyways, what I was saying is like either I come to sit on the couch on my phone in the morning or I go make my coffee. If I want the habit of listening to a lecture every morning or reading Quran every morning, then I need to add it to the habit I already have. So for example, there was a time where I played a lecture while I was making my coffee. And by doing that, every time I make my coffee, I'm going to listen to a lecture and it's going to become a habit. And it's literally just piggybacking off of my other habit. And so it's just, it makes so much more sense to my brain than adding a habit in the middle of the day, like reading Quran in the middle of the day or lecture in the middle of the day. This is so much easier for me to do. So if that's something that's appealing to you guys, I definitely recommend, because that's something I'm going to be doing. And I'm so excited to like post podcasts in Ramadan because I feel like it's going to be a good check-in, like a weekly check-in. And then if you guys are not part of the Patreon, go ahead and join the Patreon because we're going to have daily check-ins on in the group chat and things like that. So I am so excited. But I also want to focus, well, I'll talk about this later, but I want to make sure that my podcast is not distracting me in Ramadan, but I'll talk about that later. Okay, the fourth thing, another main focus I have is not letting Ramadan pass until the last 10 days. So I remember so many Ramadans where I'm just like, I don't get into the full spirit of it until the last 10 days. And I know like the last 10 days are so hype. They're so like religiously like motivating and you're at the masjid every day. You even sleep over if you can. And like you're getting closer to Eid. You're getting closer to Laylatul Qadr. You don't know what day it is. It's exciting. But so is the rest of Ramadan. And I don't want to like repeat bad habits of like not really getting into like the spiritual part of Ramadan and the practicing part until the last 10 days. So starting now, like trying to implement the habits before Ramadan, I feel like is going to help me do that because then I can really get into it even in the first week. Okay, last one on my main focus points is implementing habits I know I can keep. Okay, listen, even if the habits are like delusional, I'm still gonna try to implement them, but I also want to implement habits that I know like, oh, I can definitely do that after Ramadan. For example, I love listening to the lecture, like my favorite lecture person, Abdurrahman Murphy, when I'm making my coffee. That's something I know I can do after Ramadan too, because it's not something I find difficult. So why not implement the habit that I'm gonna keep? You see what I'm saying? Another example is if you find it hard to read Quran like daily, weekly, things like that. Actually, we should be doing it daily. I'm pretty sure if you don't read Quran for 3 days in a row, you've considered to be someone who abandoned the Quran, which is so scary because how many of us actually read every day? Ugh, it is so scary when you actually look inward and think, okay, what am I doing? What am I doing and how distracted am I by this world and what am I doing for the next world? It's eye-opening, humbling, all of the above. So, like I said, I want to implement habits I know I can keep. So if I'm someone who struggles with reading Quran, then I can habit stack by like reading a few ayahs before I pick up my phone in the morning or reading a few ayahs after Salat al-Maghrib or when I'm at the masjid and making that something I have to do all the time. It's small, but I have to do it. In that way, after that, I can start making bigger goals. You don't have to make huge goals at the beginning of Ramadan, because if you find yourself not accomplishing them, you're gonna get unmotivated and you're gonna feel like not accomplished, and that's gonna ruin the vibe. That's gonna ruin your motivation. You know what I mean? So definitely implementing habits I know I can keep, smaller goals. I'm not saying don't make bigger goals, do it, but make realistic ones so that you're building that like rapport with yourself that, oh, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. Ooh, rapport, big word. Okay. The next thing I wrote is the things that I'm doing to get in the spirit, because tell me why sometimes it's so hard at the beginning of Ramadan to actually get in the spirit of Ramadan, especially when you either come in on your period, so you don't even feel like Ramadan started, or you're not someone who goes to the masjid in the weekdays, only the weekends, so like it doesn't feel like you're in school or you're working. It is tough to feel the spirit, especially now that it's not in summer anymore. Summer was so much easier, or maybe it's the fact that I was literally a kid, to feel the spirit of Ramadan. But here are the things that I'm going to do, because I refuse not to feel the spirit. Number one, I'm going to decorate the hell out of my apartment. I'm going to buy little moon hanging lights. I'm going to get Bahur to like make the apartment smell good. I'm going to get so much stuff, especially now that I don't live with my parents. It's going to be so freaking depressing not to have like the vibe of Ramadan and like your family around you. All right, let's not cry up in here. So I do want to decorate my apartment to get that vibe, you know what I mean? Have a little moon-shaped plate full of dates. Speaking of dates, why do all the brands of dates support Israel? What the frick? Someone drop a brand in the question sticker below or DM me a brand of dates that I can buy that don't support Israel. Okay, number two, making a lecture schedule and finding them now. Y'all, we're sleeping on lectures so hard because the second I listen to a lecture, why am I on some different type of iman? Like, why is the level of motivation, the level of spirituality just, like, upped so hard, okay? And I'm talking not the lectures that, like, you, like, fall asleep in. I'm talking the ones that are, like, intriguing, eye-opening. You enjoy listening to them. And in the Patreon, I shared my favorite sheikh and lectures and Spotify's and podcasts. So if that's something that interests you, go check that out, because I'm going to be posting more. And I need y'all to be letting me know what y'all listen to, because I'm stuck on only one, Qalam and Roots from Dallas. I'm stuck on that. So please, please let me know what y'all be listening to, what podcasts, what lectures and all that stuff. Even YouTube videos, please. I need stuff to replace like bad YouTube videos. Not that I watch bad YouTube videos. I'm saying like mindless ones. Like, I want to be learning, I want to be educated, and I want to be entertained this Ramadan with halal stuff. I love that. Okay, next, buying abayas. I want to feel so motivated to like dress cute with abaya in Ramadan, but I feel like alhamdulillah I have a good amount, but like if I feel like if I get more, see, this is the shopaholic talking in me, don't listen to her, but what she's telling me is that if I get more abayas, that I'm gonna just like, it's gonna be easier for me to like wear them to the masjid. It's not that it's hard for me to wear abaya to the masjid, but a goal that I have for this Ramadan is like to fully go out in abaya like as much as I can. I'm talking like to the grocery store, to wherever you're going. That's so crazy. I was gonna say work or school, but I do neither, so I had to jump to grocery store. That's so sad. I'm sorry. Actually, is it sad, or am I living my stay-at-home wife era right now? But what I'm saying is I want to like dress in abaya as often as possible. But if I don't feel like I have cute ones or versatile ones, then I see myself falling off. So what I've been doing in the dark is I've literally been DMing hijab companies. Hey, you have affordable stuff. Give me your abayas and I will literally share them with everyone I know. And I will tell them like how good they are, because I'm looking at these abaya brands. First of all, I've been looking, like deep search looking on Instagram for affordable abayas, because why are these abayas $220 for a piece of fabric? Why? Because it's either that or I make my own abaya brand in my freaking apartment. I can't spend that much and neither can y'all. I know you can't. So one of my favorite abaya companies, and this is not sponsored, is Hawaat Clothing, Hawaa Clothing. Because they're actually really good quality abayas that I've worn multiple times. And they're also not that expensive. Like, I feel like a good, like, ranged abaya, I feel like abaya should not be more than $85. Like, come on. Maybe if you're making, like, a cute little dress, fine, $100, whatever, inflation. But a simple abaya should not be more than $85. And I'm pretty sure their price is around, like, $65, I believe. But I have been making a list for y'all. I'm working day and night to make a list of like abaya companies to work with that you guys can find. And I'll literally provide a discount code to get even more money off. because I just don't think it's right. I don't think it's right to be charging that much for abaya. So I will do the work for y'all and I will look for these abayas. And I'm going to post TikTok reviews about the abayas, so you know I am not lying when I say they're good quality or they're very cute. And I already got one in the mail and I freaking love them. I can't wait to make a video about them. I was going to wear it this week, but it's too fancy. Like, I have to save it. So I'm really excited for that. How did I get to that topic? Oh, buying abayas. I just feel like it's going to make me more modest. And guys, the Lord's wisdom is just beyond. Because why does dressing modestly make me want to be the best Muslim ever? It makes me want to literally pray everything on time, read Quran all day, go to the masjid, like be nice to everyone in the world. Like, I just feel so elegant princess Muslim girl, you know? So there's definitely wisdom behind dressing modestly and how much it affects your deen. Straight up. Okay, next. Nasheed playlists and podcasts, having them on deck. I'm not going to start Ramadan wanting to listen to music and then having to search for Nasheeds and getting the bad ones. I'm going to find them before and I'm going to share them with you guys. I'm pretty sure my husband has a Nasheed playlist, but it's funny because they're all like war-based, like Jundullah, Jundullah, or like freaking you hear their swords in the mud, like marching. It's very interesting, but why does it low-key hit? Why does it low-key hit? So I'll share his with you guys, and then also feel free to share your favorite, like if you even made a Nasheed playlist, send that over right now. I'm not playing, okay? You need me to pay, I'll pay. Send it over. Okay, the last one of things that I'm doing to get in the spirit is starting the habits now, because like I said, it's just going to make it so much easier to like feel Ramadan, because I feel like mid-Ramadan is when you start feeling it a little bit. You start feeling, like, the spirit. So if we start now, we'll start feeling the spirit at the beginning, right? Logically, makes sense. Look at me being all logical and not emotional for once. Okay. Basically, fake it till you make it, y'all. Fake it till you make it. Get in the spirit. Get delusional. And it's going to pay off. It's going to pay off. Okay. The last section I have for this podcast, and this podcast is a little shorter than normal because... actually it's a lot shorter than normal because I have a flight to catch. Okay, I will make you one as soon as I land. I'll make a second one, either Ramadan prep part 2, or you guys can DM me like, hey, can you talk more about this, and I'll be like, bet. So the last two things I'm going to talk about are what I'm anxious about this Ramadan and then what I'm excited about. Let's bounce off to balance the positive and negative vibes. Let's start off with what I'm anxious about. Definitely anxious about not following through with my goals, because I'm a perfectionist that never actually gets anything done. So if I feel like I'm not being perfect with my goals, like I'm not actually following through or I keep falling off, I'm going to get real pissed at myself. And it does not look good when I get pissed at myself, because then I just tend to fully pull out and just not do what I said I was going to do. So I'm gonna try to be like kinder to myself if I don't, because obviously the Lord is going to test me if I'm actually gonna follow through with my goals, you know? So might as well be kind to myself while I'm trying to do that. So number 2, I said it earlier a little bit, making sure the podcast doesn't distract me. So my goal for the podcast in Ramadan is to have a podcast for you guys every week, because I want at least 4 for you to be like checking in with you guys, like week 1, week 2, week 3, week 4. But I want to make sure I'm not like getting anxious about it or spending all my time planning it or thinking about it and editing it, because definitely like I need a like personal Ramadan too. Like as much as I share with you guys, I definitely need time for myself to fully like experience Ramadan and benefit from it. So I'm gonna make sure that I am not getting like fully sucked into it, but also giving you guys the content that I want to give. Okay, so why am I not bouncing off right now? I'm literally doing all the anxious ones. You know, let's just get the anxious ones out the way. Number 3, cooking iftar every night, because this is my first Ramadan that I'm spending with my husband, like fully, because actually literally my first Ramadan ever, because he moved to Florida for dental school and now I live here. And I have to make iftar every night. Like I'm so used to going to the masjid every day, and there's like all the women make these beautiful, beautiful dishes, and the men bring their freaking barbecues and burgers, and it's just so yummy. And now I gotta cook every single night. I mean, alhamdulillah. But I feel like it's gonna be a little bit overwhelming to have that many iftars to plan. But alhamdulillah for everything. I don't want to ever complain about food. The last one, biggest one, being alone. Because, like I said, moved away from everyone I know. This is gonna be tough to not have the Ramadan that I'm used to. Even though I feel like it's been a while since I've had like a very good like childhood vibe Ramadan, it's definitely such a different vibe when you're around people you know, childhood friends, visiting other masjids and stuff like that with your family. So I feel like being alone is just gonna make the vibe like, it's not the vibe. Ramadan is all about community, so where's my community? But I feel like I'm definitely open to kind of seeing what community is here where I live, and I've made some friends, so I'm excited to like experience Ramadan with them as well. But I think I'm so nervous about seeing how religious I'm gonna be without anyone, because it's really like eye-opening when you think, what do I do when no one's around, you know? Like, because in the last 10 days I used to go to tahajjud. Am I gonna do that? Am I gonna drive to the masjid by myself or with my husband and go to the women's area by myself, no friends, and pray tahajjud? Like, I want to do that, but it's like, it's tough because you're gonna have to see what can you do by yourself, you know? And I don't have like the tarawih buddy that I used to have. I don't have like, you know what I'm saying? Anyways, not to get depressing with y'all, but I'm pretty sure I have so many listeners that are also alone in Ramadan. So I want you to know you're not alone, and we're going to do this. And since we have weekly check-ins in Ramadan, it's going to be fine. Okay, enough depressing stuff. What am I excited about? I have four things written down. First, I'm excited to visit home in Ramadan because I'm going to visit in the last 10 days. And I'm so excited because I feel like that's really gonna make me feel like I got a full Ramadan. Like, I experienced it alone, but I also got to experience it with everybody I know. So I'm so excited for that. Number two, spending it with my man. Like, this man was always alone in Ramadan. I always felt so bad. Sometimes he was even alone for Eid. Like, I couldn't make it or he couldn't make it. So I'm really excited to just kind of build our relationship and like fast together and make dua together and pray together and all that stuff. And I pray that everybody who's listening gets that experience in their life, inshallah. So I'm excited for that. Definitely, he's gonna be in school, so I'm gonna be alone most of the time, but it's definitely something that I am lucky to be able to experience. I'm blessed, alhamdulillah. Number three, seeing what I'm capable of, because even though it's a little bit scary to see what I'm to see what I can do alone, it's also kind of exciting. Like, who am I? What can I do by myself? You know, like, what can I prove to the Lord? So I'm excited to see for real, who am I? What can I do by myself? And then lastly, coming out on a religious high. Nothing better than coming out of Ramadan and just feeling like so good about yourself and so religious. And obviously we've all experienced that dying down, but right after Ramadan, it just feels great. It really does. And I'm super excited for that because I've needed like to feel that religious high, because I feel like since Iman is so fluctuating, it kind of gets depressing when you're like, why am I not feeling this like super religious high? So Ramadan definitely brings that to us. And I pray that everybody can make it to Ramadan, inshallah, ameen. Oh my gosh, I have to tell you guys. My mom told me to tell you guys. No, and this is for real. This is for real. No laughs and giggles. My mom is such a big advocate for not wasting food in Ramadan. Like, she would literally post pictures of starving children on top of the trash cans to remind you that there are people around the world who would wish to have your leftovers, to wish to have the bread that you throw away, the water that you waste. So especially in light of what's happening in Gaza right now, where they are literally having to grind animal feed and feed that to the children and the people, we cannot be people who waste food and waste water. So for yourself, for the people around you, remind everyone, do not waste food. Okay, do not waste food this Ramadan. That's what my mom wanted to share for you guys. That being said, I hope you guys enjoyed this Ramadan prep. I feel like it's getting me in the spirit too. And I need to get the heck out of this apartment right now because I need to catch my flight. And I'm going to edit this on the flight and hopefully post it when I land, inshallah. So please let me know what you want part two to be about, or the next podcast, because I think I'm going to drop another one this week. I think. Not to get your hopes up, but I definitely want it to be longer. And if you guys, if there was something I touched on here but I didn't touch on enough, please DM me or tell me in the Patreon what you guys think. I'm definitely going to be posting another podcast for the Patreon, like a bonus episode for them, because I love my little community. So if you're not yet a member of the Patreon and you don't know what it is, it's basically this community that I created, I think about a month ago. And it's basically where I post extra episodes, links to the things I love, and we have a group chat for everyone to talk in. So if that's something that interests you and you're someone that wants more episodes and doesn't like waiting, or wants that community of people who are always trying to get better, definitely make your way over to that. The link is in my Instagram bio, or you can type in patreon.com/podcastwya. That being said, I love you. I love you. I love you. Thank you for tuning in to, I think this is episode 7 of wherever you're at. So love you. Thank you. And I will see you next time.